You know, the truth is we all kind of like our spot, don't we? A couple of weeks ago, I was reminded of that when we changed the seating up in the worship center. And can I just say that some of you lost your ever-loving mind over the fact that we moved your chair? Man, we don't like change, do we? And of course, then you guys come in here, and this is our fifth year, I'm told, that we've been at the Bruce, and you come in here, and we mixed it up again, and you're wondering, what in the world is going on around here? Why are we like that? Well, I think it's because we like our spot. We are creatures of habit, and we kind of like our place. I get it. Me too. I like my spot. In fact, I brought you a picture. This is my spot. That's my chair. Listen, I tell you that you need chair time, right? You need to pick a chair, pick a place, pick the Bible, and you need to spend time in your chair reading God's Word, letting God's Word get in your life. I just happen to pick a really comfortable chair to read God's Word, and I encourage you to do the same. But you know, it seems to me that everybody seems to like my spot. In fact, my grands will think my spot is their spot. And of course, the truth of the matter is that is okay with me because, let's be real, it's the people that make the spot special anyway. And the grands think it's grand to be in Papa's chair, especially in the mornings. And yes, it is true. I have to show you pictures of all four of the grands because they are now old enough to ask me questions after church like, Papa, why didn't you put my picture up in your sermon? And so you have to endure all of them. They need their equal time. But you know, a travesty has happened in my spot, and that travesty is named Bailey. This is Bailey. This is Diana's dog. And she too has chosen my spot. In fact, in the mornings, if I spend too much time in my chair, she whines at me. And at first I thought she just wanted to play ball, so I'd throw her ball. Nope, that wasn't it. And so I thought maybe she wanted out. Nope, that wasn't it. And as soon as I stood up out of my chair, she immediately bolted to her perch on the back of my chair in that very spot. I tell you, Diana thinks it's cute. She's wrong. And don't encourage her. Listen, for 2 months now, every week, if you've been noticing, we've been coming back to the same spot, the same geography, the exact same place, time after time. Abraham, he took Isaac there. David, he built an altar there. Solomon, he raised a temple there. Jesus went there as a boy. Jesus went back as a man. And we saw last week that final conflict that took place there on Temple Mount. And today, we come to the point of it all. All of it was leading to the event of this weekend when we see the crucifixion and the resurrection. You know, you could almost get the feeling that from the very beginning of time, God was setting it all up to bring us all individually to this very spot. And listen, today what I want to do is I just want to invite you to hear again the simple gospel story of Easter, because it all happened on this very spot. But listen, before you get to Easter morning, you got to go back and begin at Good Friday. On Friday, man, it looked like death was victorious. John put it this way. Jesus said, "It is finished." And then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And then they took the lifeless body of Jesus down from the cross. And we're told that following the burial custom, they wrapped Jesus' body with spices in long sheets of linen cloth. the place of crucifixion was near a garden where there was a new tomb, never been used before. And so because it was the day of preparation for the Jewish Passover, and since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. But then came Easter, Sunday morning. And early on Sunday morning, we read these words from John chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. And it says, early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. And she said, they've taken the Lord's body out of the tomb and we don't even know where they've put him. Peter and the other disciples started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and he went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. When the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. And then they went home. Isn't that the strangest thing? So the disciples come and they search and they're not able to find what they're looking for. But Mary lingered a little longer. And let me suggest to you this morning that maybe you also need to linger a little longer at that empty tomb. Look what happens again in verse 11. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she stooped and looked in. And she saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. Dear woman, why are you crying? The angels asked her. Because they have taken away my Lord, she replied, and I don't know where they put him. And she turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. Dear woman, why are you crying? Jesus asked her. Who are you looking for? She thought he was the gardener. Sir, she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him. Mary, Jesus said. And she turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher. Don't cling to me, Jesus said, for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go and find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, I have seen the Lord. Listen, this is what I want you to see this Easter. As you and I come to that very spot, what Jesus did for Mary, Jesus wants to do for you. And the first thing that Jesus did is simply this. Jesus invites you in. When you read in that story in verse 1, it says that when Mary showed up, the tomb was already exposed and open. The stone had been rolled away. Now listen, Mary knew exactly where she was going. She knew the place. In fact, in the Gospel of Luke, it tells us, but Jesus' friends, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching everything that happened. They were there at the place, at the crucifixion. And then a few verses later, it tells us, and as that body was taken away, the women from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb where his body was placed. You see, they followed the body of Jesus to this very spot. John also wanted us to understand that all of this happened in just this one place. John put it this way, the place, the crucifixion, was near a garden. The tomb was close at hand. It was all right there. And when she arrived that morning, the tomb is open, wide open. And what I want you to see in this is that's a picture of Jesus inviting her in. Listen, you need to understand, the stone was not rolled away in order to let Jesus out of the tomb. The stone was rolled away in order to let Mary inside the tomb. And today I extend to you the exact same invitation. Listen, Easter is Jesus' great invitation for you and for me to come and enter in and to look into the empty tomb. And like John, who looked in and saw and believed, it is an invitation for us to believe. Like Mary and all of those who came before you, he calls you to draw near and then to step into faith. In fact, our whole service today is built around the purpose of inviting you to step into faith. We're doing something today that I've not done in 40 years of Easter services as a pastor. We are extending to you today the opportunity for you to spontaneously respond in faith and then to step into the waters of baptism just like you saw a few moments ago. Today, you could leave this place having put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and having been baptized. Now, I know, you didn't come to Easter services thinking, you know, who knows, maybe today I'm going to go to Easter at the Bruce and I'm going to confess my faith in Jesus. Why, heck, I might even step into the waters of baptism and get dunked this morning. I know you weren't thinking that way. I mean, come on, it's Easter, right? Truth of the matter is, a lot of you put a lot of time and a lot of thought exactly into how you're going to look and what you're going to wear and how you're going to appear on Easter Sunday. It's still something that we do. We look around. In fact, I want you to know, I was watching as you came in, and I just want you to know, you look marvelous. You all look marvelous. In fact, why don't you turn to one of the people sitting next to you, and you just tell them, you look marvelous. Go ahead, tell them that. Oh, that feels good, doesn't it? Now turn to the other person, the second choice, and you tell them, yeah, you too, you did good. You know, sometimes it's a swing and a miss. I get it. You weren't thinking about baptism today. But here's what I want you to hear. Boy, we were thinking of you. And we have everything ready. We have water. We have shorts. We have shirts. We have towels, we have everything ready. At the end of this service, there's going to be a response time. I'm going to invite you to step out in faith, to take that step, to step over your pride, to get past yourself, to do whatever it is that it takes for you to have a conversation with one of the pastors and say, I know Jesus is inviting me in, and it's time for me to make a move. I know some of you, maybe even right now, you're feeling that quickening in your heart. You're feeling that tug of the Spirit, and you've even told yourself before that someday you'd make that decision. But listen, you always had an excuse. Let me tell you what today is. Today is no excuse Sunday. This is your opportunity to be invited in and to step in to faith. And just like Mary and just like the disciples, we invite you to this very place so that you can experience what Jesus has done for you. The Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but they would have eternal life. The Easter story is that Jesus invites you in. I tell you again, the stone was not rolled away to let him out. It was rolled away to let you in. And not only that, Jesus invites you in, but then Jesus calls you out. You know, an amazing transformation takes place in Mary. That morning, she began in deep grief. She came to that place and her mind was clouded with confusion. And she was overwhelmed. The truth of the matter is, a lot of people come to Easter that way. Let me tell you, death is not very far away on Easter. There's some of you today. You're still grieving. There is a loss in your life that continues to be suffocating. And you have questions that will not be answered. That's how Mary came to the empty tomb. Such a heavy heart. You too? In her desperation, she searches. And then there came that startling moment where she mistook Jesus for a weekend gardener. But then with just one word, it was like everything changed. And that word was simply Mary. Oh my goodness, how many times had she heard him say her name? How many times had he spoken that word? And that one word made all the difference. I wonder, is there anything sweeter to our ears than hearing our name called by someone who loves us so? Listen, do you know that Jesus calls you by name? He knows your name. Isaiah put it this way, I have called you by name and you are mine. Jeremiah declared this, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart. Listen, you need to understand that the message of Easter is not that Jesus came to save all y'all. It's not collective. It's not talking about the crowd. It's personal. I mean, read the story. There is no big crowd on that first Easter. They're just individuals that are there. And listen, that's good news for you, because Jesus knows your name and he calls you by your name. I mean, you saw it the very first week when we came to this very spot and Abraham came and he brought Isaac and God spoke his name. He said, Abraham, do not lay your hand on the boy. God did the very same thing with Moses. You'll remember that Moses was hiding out on the backside of a wilderness desert. He thought God was something that was in the rearview mirror of his life, and God came to him and spoke to him through a burning bush. And what did God say? He said, Moses, Moses. He called him by name. God even did it for a little boy by the name of Samuel, trying to go to sleep, can't sleep. And in the night, God's Spirit's calling him, and he calls him by name, Samuel, Samuel. Let me tell you, God knows your name, and he calls you by name. Easter is not about the big crowd. It's about the individual. And you see right here in this story where he calls her and says, Mary, and she knows in an instant. She responds, Rabboni. It means teacher. It means the one that I follow, my master. And then she goes and tells the disciples, I have seen the Lord. You see, not only did Jesus know her name, she knew the name of Jesus. And listen, Jesus calls out Jesus. to you by name, but you need to understand it is only by you calling upon the name of Jesus that you can be saved. That's what the Bible tells us in the book of Romans. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so I got to ask you today, have you called on the name of the Lord? Peter, on the day of Pentecost, was preaching, and he declared, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. In other words, you need to understand, there is no plan B. In the book of Philippians, the Bible tells us this, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Listen, do you get it? Jesus calls you by your name, and he calls on us to call on his name. Listen, I told you, this could be your day that Jesus is calling you out. Will you call on him as your Lord and Savior? Listen, in just a moment, you're going to have the opportunity to make that move. Jesus invites you in. Jesus calls you out. And one more thing that I want you to see, Jesus offers the rescue you need. Mary showed up that morning thinking that she was coming to the grave for the purpose of serving the body of Jesus. I mean, she's there at the crack of dawn, and she's coming and she's thinking, I'm going to anoint him at the very moment she came to serve. But you need to remember, it was Jesus who said and told us in Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Listen, Jesus wasn't expecting to be served. He was there to serve her. He was still doing his work, his redeeming, his ransoming, his rescuing work. I mean, when you look at the story, it's clear she is looking for Jesus. But in the end, it's Jesus who found her. You see, Jesus was like he had an appointment with her in this very spot. You know, I showed you pictures earlier about my grandkids in my spot, in my chair. I can't tell you the number of times on those nights when they've spent the night and I get up early in the morning and I'll go out, get my walk done early. Would I either come back in from my walk, or maybe I'm in the kitchen cleaning up from the night before, or maybe I'm just fixing breakfast for the kids when they get up. I can't tell you the number of times I look from that kitchen into the living room at my chair, and one or two of my grandkids are already there, and they're watching me, and they're just waiting. Sometimes I look in and they're just standing there. It's like, Papa, are you coming? Whatever I'm doing, you leave it behind. And you go to that very spot because they're waiting on you. Let me tell you, I think it's a beautiful picture of what happened that Easter morning. Mary comes. She's busy with all the things that needs to be done. And Jesus is there. And he's just waiting there, watching and waiting. Because here's the thing, Jesus knew that Mary was in a real spot. The grief was suffocating. She is so distressed. She has no answers. And Jesus was there to rescue her. Let me ask you, are you in a spot today? Is this day a season in your life that's heavy? Are you stressed? Jesus comes and shows up because you need rescue. That's what we're inviting you to today. I don't know if you saw it on the news or not, but 3 weeks ago, there was a terrible wreck in Louisville, Kentucky that happened on the Second Street Bridge that spans the Ohio River. Three vehicles collided that resulted in a semi-truck wildly careening literally over a guardrail and seemingly destined to just slip and fall into the water some 70 feet below. But the truck didn't fall. It was stuck. It just kind of hung there. And fortunately, miraculously, that cab remained attached to the trailer. But think about this. For 45 minutes, that driver, she sat in that cab with that seatbelt restraining her and holding her, and all she could see is the waters below. Could you imagine how helpless she felt? There was no way out. Her only hope was rescue. And eventually that rescue came in a Louisville firefighter who rappelled down from above on a cable and offered her the way to get out. But in order to be rescued, she had to get out of that seat and step out into that harness in order to be lifted up. Let me tell you, it's a beautiful picture to me of the condition that our world is in and what God has done for us. The Bible tells us we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, that there is no way out, but that the Savior came from above to rescue us. You need a Savior, and He invites us in. He calls us out, and He offers us the rescue that you need. In fact, let me invite you now to look at that response card that you were given when you came in. On one side, it's just a quick summary of everything that we were talking about. Today, would you acknowledge that Jesus has personally invited you in, that He has called you by name and called you out to faith, and that today the rescue that He offers to you is the rescue that you need. Listen, you can make that move in your own life and in just a moment. If you're ready to respond in faith, our pastor's going to be across the front and on the sides of this room. And all we want to do is have a confirming conversation with you that you're ready to step into faith. Now again, I know you didn't come thinking that you might confess Jesus and be baptized today, but I want you to know your Jesus was already thinking of you, and He would love nothing more than to meet you this morning on this very spot and for you to step into faith. Now flip that card over. There's a verse of scripture that I want to read together. It's Romans 10, 9 and 10, and it says this. It says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Are you ready to make your move? Listen, you just need to talk to the Father. So let me invite you right now to bow your heads and close your eyes. And in just a moment, I'm gonna verbalize out loud a prayer. But I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer in your silent heart and you talk to God so that today you can make your move. You just talk to the Lord and you pray something like this. God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that I need Jesus. I feel you tugging on my heart and life today. I'm going to accept your invitation. I'm going to call on Jesus as Lord. I ask you to rescue me. So I believe in my heart. And I confess that you are Lord. Amen. Did you pray that prayer today? Listen, I'm going to ask our pastors to move right now to their positions so you can see them as they move. We're going to invite you to make a move. And parents, let me just say to you, if your kids are wanting to make a move, we're not going to baptize anybody without a conversation. But you encourage them as they want to move in faith. You make a move with them. And if you're ready, in the next service, you could be one of those who will be baptized and declare your faith in Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, on this very spot, it could be the place and the time where Jesus saves you. Let me invite you to stand as we worship together in song.